Hello everyone and welcome to the Crick Blog podcast review of the fourth test, second day of the Border Gavaskar Trophy, another day for Australia. It's just me today, Charbel. My co-host Nash, India fan, is travelling to India. Supposedly he says he's on holiday. He's not fleeing Australia given India's poor run of form since the Perth test. So I'll be reviewing this one and he'll be back tomorrow to join me for the review of the third day. And it promises to be an interesting third day, one that could have been a lot better for India, given the way Jaiswal and Kohli were going. But we'll talk about that as this review goes on. But wanted to go to the start of the day. I sort of thinking last night was hoping for Australia to get sort of 400, 6 for 311, at risk of maybe getting under 350 from the position we were in on day one, 2 for 230 odd. We were going really well. India sort of fought back through the great Jasprit Bumrah on day one. But I couldn't have imagined how good this morning would be. It was a fantastic start. I mean, Steve Smith, will touch on him in a sec, combining with Pat Cummins, who themselves got us over 400. And that was absolutely fantastic. And from there, Australia were dominant and took their momentum into the bowlings as well afterwards. But on to Steve Smith. I mean, that's the most pleasing thing, about this century, is that the Gabba ton wasn't just a one-off. There's been a lot of talk over the last sort of 12, 18 months as to whether Steve Smith has anything left in the tank. And while he feels there's something left in the tank, we're just going to back him in. He's one of the greats of the game. He will use and he will exert every ounce of petrol there's left in that tank of his to continue to produce for Australia. 34 test hundreds now. This one was a classy one because he was tested again in a round off stump this morning, and we thought that if he gets through Bumrah in the initial stages, which he did, then he could really open up. And once he got that 100, he played some extraordinary shots and showed what he's capable of when he plays with total freedom. But it's absolutely superb 100, and just so pleasing that, as I said, the Gabba century wasn't the one-off. And then coming back with a string of low scores again, it was another important 100, the first innings of a test match to help set up the game, get Australia over 400. Our second score of 400 plus in a row in the first innings after 300 plus at Adelaide. So it's been a very good response from the batting side of things since Perth, with India relying a lot on Jasprit Bumrah. And I'll talk a lot about the leadership and the captaincy side of things as well later in this review. But Steve Smith's 100 was I thought, superb. And to me, it confirms again, look, he was always the best player of this generation in Test cricket. When you look at the last 10 years and what he's achieved in this format, we've had Joe Root come and do amazing things in the last 5 years. But even when you consider Joe Root's amazing form in the last 5 years and Steve Smith drop off a little bit, Steve Smith is still averaging, 5 or 6 runs better per innings than Joe Root, who's a fantastic player, of course. But just goes to show what level Steve Smith has been at for so many years. And it just feels so good that he's got more in the tank yet. And hopefully there's more runs to come. A big shout out as well to Pat Cummins. Brilliant at number 8 again. He's got that knack of really scoring some important runs for us there. You know, as I said at the start, there was a risk of us getting under 350, with India fighting back yesterday. He came in a little period where India could feel they can get really back in the game. But he started really positively this morning. The first ball he faced went for 4, and then he's knocking the ball into gaps, getting off strike, turning it over, and then getting the odd boundary as well. So he was absolutely outstanding, deserved the half century, but his best moment of the day was the delivery to KL Rahul. And so Australia get to 474. I think it was a massive score. It's a pretty decent batting pitch, but there's always something in it. There's always one like that KL Rahul ball out of nowhere that can nip off the seam. The spinners found some turn as well. So is it a 474 pitch? I don't think so. It's a good batting pitch, but 474 seemed over. So Australia were in a very good position there. India, well, Rohit, I mean, if there was ever a shot that exemplifies or emphasizes or showcases and highlights what sort of series Rohit Sharma has had, both as a batter and as a captain, that shot was it. Timid, a bit lazy, no belief. I think if your leader is doing that, your captain is doing that, it's a concern. But I thought KL Rahul again batted beautifully. He was looking outstanding along with Jaiswal. They put on a really good partnership. It was shaping up to be a really good one. And then Pat Cummins with a delivery that that's added to his amazing selection of top of off stump balls. It's the sort of stuff that we Australians absolutely love. We'll never get sick of watching that stuff, that Joe Root delivery at Manchester in 2019, the many others that Pat Cummins has done here at home. But this one might just top the lot. And that's a big call given how good they all are and the Joe Root one in particular. But this one is angled in towards middle and leg and straight and hit the top of off. KO Rahul has actually done nothing wrong there. He hasn't squared up. His right shoulder is actually still side on when he's playing the shot. That's how good the delivery was. An unbelievable delivery. One of the best you'll see from Pat Cummins. And just again, further emphasis of just his wicket-taking ability and his ability to come up with the big play. And did that late on in the day, which we'll talk about soon as well. But Cummins, that partnership breaking ability, and that's so important when you haven't got an all-rounder who's bowling effectively enough. I know Mitch Marsh bowled some overs today, but it was, you know, early to mid 120s. It didn't look particularly effective. So you need someone in your attack who can break partnerships. And Pat Cummins was able to do that in that early stage. Then it brought Virat Kohli and Jaiswal together when I thought, you know, that was a period where India were enjoying some of their best cricket since Perth. That partnership, 100 plus, I thought Virat, you know, showed the value of the leave early in his innings. The leave, when you leave confidently, that can be a real authoritative shot earlier in innings in Test cricket. Yeah, we talk about the Sam Constis approach yesterday, the lap and the reverse lap and all that exciting stuff. But if you leave the ball well, particularly if you've got an issue outside off stump, it forces the bowlers to go to you. And I thought Australia went too straight to Kohli too quickly. I thought we could have persisted more outside off stump. I thought we bowled quite straight to him and we enabled him to get into his innings and he was looking really good. You know, I was worried that he would go on and get a big score, but I was actually more worried about Jaiswal at the start, because this guy, when he gets 100, he doesn't just get 100. He gets daddy hundreds. He goes on and gets 150 plus. So all four of his test centuries so far are 150 plus, with two double hundreds in there as well. So the fact that he was going really strong, yes, there were a few edges through slips, but he was looking in control for the most part, playing with such confidence and authority and swagger and taking on the bowling. You know, I was worried as an Australia fan that if we don't get him out today, he can go on and get a really big score and India can get somewhat close to that 470 and put us under pressure in that third innings. I know that's a long way away, but that's sort of the ability the kid has. But onto the run out. I mean, the partnership was going so smoothly for India, going so well, but it's just been a feature of their cricket in recent months. They have good periods and then they self-destruct and let the opposition back into the game. They did it against New Zealand in that 3-0 loss. They're doing it here as well. That run out. Now, there's big debates going on social media. Now, when I was watching it, so I was watching the game and I was watching it on mute. And I sort of was watching it and I thought, Virat Kohli has to run there. Now, it's a risky single. It's maybe an unnecessary single from Jaiswal. But he's called it. The ball has gone in front of the wicket. The rule is, you learn it as a kid. The ball goes in front of the wicket. It's the striker's call. Virat Kohli there is caught ball watching. He doesn't go. And all of a sudden, you're certain to lose a wicket because you don't run. So Jaiswal is playing the shot on the move. He's basically got momentum. He's off and running. He basically makes his ground by the time Pat Cummins picks up the ball, but Kohli hasn't moved. Now, there's debate that Kohli wouldn't have made it, etc. Now, whatever it is, whatever side you sit on, I still believe that Virat Kohli should have run because that is your chance of avoiding a wicket falling. If you stand your ground and the other guy is down at the other end with you, you're guaranteed to lose a wicket unless Australia do a madness and stuff it up. You know, and Virat Kohli has made a career of stealing unbelievable singles and twos in white ball cricket. Perhaps he's not as quick as he used to be, that's fine, but he's still incredibly quick and incredibly fit. It was only a year ago in the 50-over World Cup, he was turning ones into twos that looked impossible. So there's every chance he could have made it. It would have been very difficult, but Pat Cummins still had to gather and throw a decent way and probably would have had to hit direct to get Kohli out. So to me, the view for me is that Kohli should have ran. You know, your partner has called you through. Maybe it was a bit of a misjudgment from Jaiswal. It probably was risky and there was no need to take that risk at that point. But if Coley runs, then you give yourself a chance of surviving and you give yourself a chance of keeping that partnership going. So the flow-on effect from that was that Coley was out very soon after in the channel. Scott Boland got one there and Coley fished at it. It was a nothing shot again in that region. It's quite remarkable how many times he's getting out like that. I don't know what that signifies. Is it an ego thing? Is it time for the, is it the end of his career coming up? Does he not have it anymore? I thought the start of his innings was really impressive, the way he left the ball with such authority and chose which deliveries to play outside his off stump really well. But that one was a loss of concentration. That's when he's thinking about that run out and he's just had a nibble outside off stump to one that that's not there. And Scott Boland bowled the sort of line that Australia should have persisted with a lot longer early on in the day. And it was really good to see him get the rewards. He then gets the night watchman Akash deep out and Australia get India 5 down heading into tomorrow. We've got our tails up and India have picked a few all-rounders in their team, which was always a, you know, a big cause of contention to get Rohit Sharma to open. But on to Rohit Sharma. I mean, I've spoken about this before. We've spoken about this on our podcast before about his captaincy. And, you know, we've had people comment on our Instagram and on our Twitter and tell us that, you know, what's Rohit meant to do? The bowlers are not doing their job. We've had people call us clowns. But as an Australian fan, if an Indian supporter who loves Rohit and is infatuated with him, wants him to stay as captain, be my guest. You're welcome. Please keep him as captain. Every Australia fan is happy to have Rohit Sharma's defensive, reactive captaincy here in Australia, which does not work. It does not work in Test cricket, period, because in New Zealand, against New Zealand in India, he was very reactive, not proactive, giving away so many easy singles and letting guys off the hook and, you know, chasing the ball as well, chasing the ball. Wherever the ball goes, he puts a fielder there. The ball goes somewhere else, he changes the field again, puts another fielder somewhere else. That is reactive captaincy. I think India needs someone who's going to stick with the plan for long enough and try to build some pressure. Well, if he's not going to resign from the captaincy by the end of this series, then India have to make the call on him. That's just my view. I don't think it's great, but it is what it is. And I think his mind is quite muddled and it showed in his dismissal. So there it is. Day two comes to an end. Australia lead by 310 runs. Currently, India have got just the 5 wickets in the bank now. It was looking a lot more brighter for them in the afternoon in what was, it seemed a fantastic atmosphere at the MCG. I think it was a record crowd for a day two of the Boxing Day test at the MCG. It was fantastic. Just wonderful vibes at the stadium, and it was really good test cricket. It was riveting stuff. I think Australia were throwing quite a bit at India, but I think Kohli and Jaiswal were fighting it really well. But then those wickets fell very quickly, and then all of a sudden the game turns on its head. And that was what I was hoping from an Australian perspective, that we get that one wicket somehow, wherever it is. Is it a great catch, a great delivery, or a run out or something, then you can get 2 or 3 to end the day. And we go into day three with a lot of momentum. We need to win this game. You know, we've been fantastic. I think we've, every day since Perth, it's been Australia's, we could say bar Gabba day 5, but everyone knew that that game was going to be washed out and was going to be a draw. Except for that, Australia have dominated every day of cricket pretty much since that Perth test. And it's been a great response from the team. And we hope they can really see it through now. Get these 5 wickets relatively quickly and build a really imposing lead for that 4th innings on a pitch that I think will break up more as you get more good weather at the next day or two. Take more spin, a bit more up and down bounce and that sort of stuff. And we can hopefully take a 2-1 series lead into Sydney. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. Follow us on @cricblogpod on X and Instagram. We post a lot of reels on there. You can catch us there. Engage with us. We're Cricblog TV on YouTube, and you can catch us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll have Nash back tomorrow from India to talk about day 3. But for now, Australia on top. We really hope we can drive home the advantage because we need this Border Gavaskar trophy back.